from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, so just get it off the shelf here. You're back. And I'm very secure in my manhood, so I've actually borrowed Tamara Rush's pink shawl. It's cold in here, and I didn't really want to turn the air off because I know you get extremely, like, overheated. So, and because it's that stage in your life, I guess. And I decided to borrow her shawl, which was kind of hanging over her chair, and I will return it once I warm up. So I'm a little chilly in here today.
Well, it looks great on you, Grandma.
Heck, you old whippersnapper. Anyway, Doug is back. This is the Organic Gardener. And, of course, if you are the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you will win a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles. So right now, Ryan is going to start going through that list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and eventually get to 10, and that person will win that gift certificate from Sorgles. But if you have a gardening question for Doug, give him a call. Davy Tree back-to-back weeks because they waited till Doug came back from his Mighty Five trip. That was a working vacation. So if you have a question for us now, 866-391-1020 in Davy Tree in about 30 minutes. So it's good to have you back, partner. How are you?
I'm doing great. 12 days in the West, it was amazing. Saw just, you know, all the things that you've seen in books your whole life. You can't, it just doesn't, when you see the Grand Canyon in person, it's just amazing. And the first day we were there, we were in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we went, I took some people to see the Desert Botanical Garden. It was 115 degrees, and I had never experienced that, and it was brutal. But we wanted to see the garden, and it's kind of one of those things like climbing a mountain. You want to just see if you can do it. I asked some of the people that were from there, is this crazy to go out to see this garden when it's 115 degrees? And they were just like, just take it easy, drink lots of water, and don't spend a lot of time out there. And we only lasted about maybe an hour and a half. But started in the Grand Canyon, finished at Mount Rushmore and everything in between. And one of the things that I saw that I really loved was Zion National Park. And there's, I got a tip for you. As we were leaving Zion, we realized that next year, the tunnel that goes into Zion will be closed to buses and RVs. So if you were planning on seeing Zion next year and you have an RV or going to go as a group, it's like a 10-hour ride around to get to the other side of the park to get in. And that's sad because Zion was something I didn't know anything about, and the Grand Canyon, you're on top looking down, and Zion, you're down at the bottom looking up. So it was so cool. And while I was there, stopping somewhere, Jackson Lake, I think it was, and I can't even tell you what state, there was this like visitor center, like a state visitor center, and it had these hummingbird feeders, and the hummingbirds didn't care anything about the people being there. And these are different hummingbirds than the ones that we have here, the one that we have here. And so I made a little video of the hummingbirds because I love hummingbirds. So that's at DougOster.com. Lots of other videos there. Project Love, which is a special garden in the Hill District created to help veterans. That's part of my work with Farm to Table. And then I've got a video there for the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden for big bugs, which is really cool. If you've never been out to the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, go out and check out this big bug thing. And you can see the promo picture I use is this giant praying mantis about to eat me. Also a video of Randyland, which is a cool place in the Mexican War streets. Again, if you're from this local area, check out Randyland. It is a scream. And I talk a lot about Joe Hamm's daffodil garden. He has offered up his rare daffodil bulbs for sale. He does this every year, and proceeds help the garden. Joe's all about preservation of older varieties, different varieties, beautiful varieties. And I've got all the information up at DougOster.com with the sales list and order form and a little video about Joe. The fun thing about this, at least for me, is that you just get a list of names and what division they are. There's 13 different daffodil divisions. And so when you start to know what the divisions are, my favorite is four, which are doubles. But then you go to this place called DaffSeek to see what it looks like. And I love this whole process of finding my bulbs that way. I always order from Joe to get some really cool stuff. And big news. Just back from the West, in May, I'm going to be taking people to England again to the Chelsea Flower Show and touring the gardens and the City of London. We'll see the Chelsea Flower Show, St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey, the Tower of London, Hampton Court Palace. That is a cool garden. St. James Park, Wisley is an amazing garden. Savile is an amazing garden. And then we're going to go down about 2 hours south of London and see one of my favorites, Sissinghurst Castle and Gardens. And there's also an optional tour for the Windsor Castle and much, much more. I'm so looking forward to getting back to England and London because everybody gardens there. It is just amazing, amazing place. And then the Chelsea Flower Show, that is the bucket list flower show and garden show for any gardener. It has every plant that you've ever thought about growing all in its peak form, whether it's a daffodil or a clematis or a rose. They've been doing this for so many years. It's just beautiful. And I did get a question I wanted to right off the bat that I wanted to talk about from Becky. And she just says, I'm getting some tomatoes, but why do you think they look so scraggly? And so she sent me a picture. It was a cherry tomato in a 3-gallon container. She says, I've been cutting off the suckers and yellowed leaves, and it's all about fertilizing. I could just see from looking at that plant, those yellow leaves weren't from any kind of fungal issue like early blight or septoria leaf spot. It was just that tomato plant in 3-gallon container, obviously she's kept it watered, but it ate up all the nutrients in there. Now there are lots of, and I told her the best way to do this would be some kind of organic liquid fertilizer for like instant help. You know the one I love. It's called Dramatic with 2 M's. You can get it at Hahn Nursery or Chapin's Greenhouse or online. I would prefer you buy it locally. But there are many, many different types of concentrates, organic, fish-based or kelp-based concentrates that will give that plant everything it needs to bring it back. And Becky did have some tomatoes on there. A little update on the late tomato growing contest. To remind you, my friend Dan Bowles had 3 Sun Golds left at the end of July before I left, gave one to me. I gave away 2 to listeners, and one listener told me they have no tomatoes on there. I came back from my break, and I've got tomatoes on there. I don't know about the third one, so the race continues, but it looks like somebody is going to have a tomato before the end of the season. It's starting that late, starting, I think it was July 26th. I planted some weird stuff yesterday, and it was the perfect timing. I couldn't believe it. I put that these seeds in the ground, and then it rained. And so I'm growing something called a rat-tailed radish, which doesn't make a radish. It just forms the pods on top, which I love. I love radish pods. If you have a radish and it didn't go, it didn't head up, just leave it. It'll flower. The flowers are good for the pollinators, and then it'll put on a little pod. And when they're young, they're really tasty. They taste like a radish. I grew planted another radish, one that I love called China Rose. It gets to be the size of like a baseball, and it's best for fall growing. I put some peas in, some greens, and with this rain, those seeds are going to go great. Don't stop planting. All right, Rob.
All right, listen, if you have a question about gardening, now is the segment. Davy Tree coming up in about 20 minutes, but we have some time for questions on the other side of the break. He's back. Doug Oster, DougOster.com. This is The Organic Gardener on KDKA.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, the hits just keep coming. All right, it is 866-391-1020. Phone calls are filling up, so let's get to work. And let's say hi to Ramesh from McKee's Rocks. You're on KDKA. How are you, brother?
Good morning, Mr. Oster and Rob Pratt. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I am going to put my question, and then I will hang up. This subject has just suddenly caught my attention about ICC, the International Code Council for International Property Management Code, mainly covering gardening. So I was a little bit confused because I'm now 67. So I thought, let me start doing something. So when I saw this article in a place about 2 weeks ago, I said, the only person is to talk to Doug. So I put that question to you, Doug. Well, so if you can give me a little bit highlight on just local single family home gardening, not much, just basic simple growing. So how will it affect something like that?
So tell me again, I don't know what this is, that I haven't read this article that you're talking about. What is it again?
International Code Council, which is accepted by U.S. standards for gardening through the, and it has got a sub-subject. It is through International Property Management Code, covering a lot of gardening issues.
So let's just go over basic gardening for you for a single family house. The number one thing is, and we've talked about this all the time, is about improving the soil. And this I deal with this every day. I get questions every day when people send me pictures of their garden and stuff. It's just important to get some kind of good organic matter into wherever you're going to plant. And so that basically means compost. If you do that, you know, especially for first-time gardeners, if you just pile up, you know, 12 inches deep of compost over whatever is there, some kind of, you know, sod or dirt or whatever it might be, you're going to be successful as a gardener. I run this all the time. I talk about this all the time. The three things you need to have a great garden. Number one, improve the soil, whether it's piling it on top, that compost, or digging that compost in. Yesterday when I planted those seeds, I found two bags of worm castings, which are like awesome, just dark black, beautiful. And being the cheap person that I am, I found the two bags that had been opened, and so I got a deal on them. And so I put those down right over my existing beds and put the seeds in there. And I know that after this rain, those seeds sprout, they're going to have everything they need in that compost. The second thing is knowing when these certain things go in. We certainly can't put a tomato in this late. It won't have time to come to fruition. So I'm putting in greens, radishes, other fall crops, spinach, arugulas, things like that. And the third thing is do not let them dry out. In fact, that's what we're going to talk to Craig Stone from Davey about. We have the perfect day to talk about drought when we finally get rain. And so I hope that answers your question. If it doesn't, go to DougOster.com. Send me another message through there, and I'll help you out that way. All right, Rob, we got lots of callers there.
Yes, we do. Let's go to Tom in the North Hills for Doug Oster. Go ahead, Tom.
About 3 weeks ago, I came across some volunteer tomatoes growing in the back of my garden, and I transferred, and they were about 6 inches or so at the time, and I transferred them to pots because I needed one to put them out where the sun was. And I was just wondering, what are the odds of me getting tomatoes this year?
3 weeks ago, you got a shot at it. We have a longer season. I would fertilize it like crazy. Like I would just, I would put the, find yourself, you're in the North Hills.
Right.
That fertilizer I like is at Han Nursery, and that's all I use. And it's, this is not an ad for the fertilizer. I buy it just like you buy it.
Right.
I'm telling you what, I mixed all that up and fertilized all my vegetables, all my containers before I left for the West, and coming back, everything looked, they're just going crazy. So you want to help it in every way you can. How big are the containers for those tomatoes?
Well, I just put them in anything I had because I wasn't going to buy any bigger containers, so they're not that large. But I was wondering, if they don't have tomatoes, let's say by frosty time, could I bring them in the house and you think the tomatoes would grow then?
You need a light source.
I'm not going to get a light source. But then the third question might be, would the tomato plant survive until the spring and then put it back outside if I kept it in the house?
Again, only with some kind of lights. And don't discount the lights. You can get a cheap LED system. If I was to do it, if I wanted to keep a tomato all season, what I would do is just I would take some simple cuttings. Like, let's just say we get to the day before frost and you don't get what you want.
Right.
I would just trim off the tops, stick them in a little dirt, put them under an LED light, and just limp them along on the windowsill.
Right.
And continue to do that. When they get to a certain size, clip them again. I know this sounds like a pain, but it sounds like you're interested in keeping them going. But I think at this point, we're in August. Have you seen flowers yet?
I think on one of them there's a little flower. On the other, there's like four of them. And the other ones, I haven't seen a flower, but one of them I have.
If they happen to be cherry tomatoes, I think...
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
Right, right. But if it's a big beefsteak, you're not going to have enough time. You'd have nothing to lose. It's a fun project.
Right.
Fertilize and water... And cross your fingers and say your prayers, okay?
Right, I have nothing to lose, right?
Yeah. And okay, hey, if you get a tomato off there, let me know. Give me a call, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
All right, so what's coming up?
We're going to talk with Craig Stone from the Davey Tree Expert Company all about drought. And tell you what, we got two more callers. You guys hang on. We'll get to you too when we get through the break, all right?
All right, 866-391-1020. My favorite, cheese, the topic of conversation. You can grill it, you can slice it, you can dice it, put it on a cheeseburger, and it's all about cheese today coming up on the Coons Cooking Hour with Frank and I. And then we're going to be talking about a number of other things in the way of sports later today. on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Pirates get two wins in a row. They're going for the sweep against Seattle today. And your Steelers, kind of a rough outing for Russell Wilson. He was sacked three times. Justin Fields did show a little bit of progress, but the Steelers ended up losing their second preseason game. They wrap up the preseason Saturday at 1 against Detroit. So we're going to talk some Steelers football today as well, too. Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show right after local news at 11. Stay with us. Rob Taylor coming up next with the news and the big story today. Vice President and soon to be that presidential nominee representing the Democrats as the convention is set to take place this week in Chicago. Her acceptance of that nomination Thursday evening to be heard on KDK Radio. She's coming with that man who's the governor of Minnesota, Governor Walz, the vice presidential candidate. They're going to be in Allegheny County headed to Rochester, Pennsylvania later this morning. So a busy news day, and we've got it all for you here on KDKA. We're going to, before we get to Davy Tree Talking Tree, give away that gift certificate to...
And now it's time for...
Janowski's in Clinton, Pennsylvania. Let's make it the 10th caller at 412-922-1020.
I'm joined by Craig Stone from the Davy Tree Expert Company. Today, Craig, a perfect day to talk all about drought, huh?
It is. Yes, sir.
Hey, before we get started, I got a couple garden questions here I'm going to take care of, and then we'll get right to it, all right? Let's go to the callers.
I say hi to Jim. Hey, Jim, you're on KDKA.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead, Jim.
Go.
My Fred Limbaugh tomato plants are 7 foot tall. Should I cut the tops off?
Not yet. I would wait. You got tomatoes on there?
Yeah.
I would wait. You're pretty close. I'd wait about another 2-3 weeks and cut the tops off, and then that'll force those to ripen. Have you got a ripe one yet?
No.
All right. Yeah, wait a little bit, just because let that plant do its thing. And then when you do get tomatoes, let me know about it.
Pam in Aspenwald, you're on the air with Doug Oster. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had gone by a planter that had canna bulbs in it. I know nothing about cannas. Wanted to know when to plant them. Someone said I could replant them, take them out in the winter, and then put them back in.
Exactly.
Where do I
right.
get them? Those are my three questions.
So you can get canna bulbs just about anywhere, any local nursery. And how it works is you plant them in the spring. They do their thing. They flower all summer long, and then at the end of the season, we pull them, and you can either just put the container down in the basement or something like that, or we can store them in something like peat moss or vermiculite. They're pretty easy to store, and then you'll get more and more every year, and then you replant in the spring, and there are lots of different types of cannas, too, that you should know about. And I was actually at Hahn Nursery yesterday. They were almost giving away their canna bulbs, and you probably have enough time to put one in now and get a couple flowers out of it. So that's how cannas work, and like I said, there's some with beautiful foliage. There's all sorts of different sizes and different colors for the flowers, and it's definitely a worthwhile plant to grow, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank
have a good
you.
Day.
All right, Craig, let's get to work. So tell me a little bit about this season as far as rain has been concerned for trees. Where are we?
It's it's starting to perk up. Obviously, you could tell with the recent weather, which is a good thing. But it's been a very strange, odd year as far as the heat, the drought, something that I don't think we're accustomed to.
Yeah, definitely that period there where we didn't have any rain, that's tough on trees. I've seen through the years, whenever there's that kind of dry spell like that and you don't put water on a tree, it seems to be more susceptible to pests and diseases. Do I have that right?
Correct. Yeah, you're going to, weaken the immune system, get things stressed out. It's kind of, a lot like the human body. It's just going to trigger a lot of other secondary things, and then you're going to start to see that.
So at this point, are we going to wait and see how much rain we get and then decide if we need to water those trees? And I know from just doing this so many years that those young trees, and especially anything planted in the spring, they need a lot of water.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't been watering, you're probably, in the scenario where you're seeing some signs and symptoms of certain things that could be related to drought stress, insect damage, anything kind of brought on from that initial stress of just the heat and the drought. So if you can water, yes. You want to try to keep that same scenario, infrequent and deep watering. You do not want to continue to do light watering, as that's just going to basically bring all of the root systems up closer to where your surface water is and then cause even more stress. So you want to do infrequent deep watering is the saying that we use.
Really soak them in, right?
Correct, yeah.
And then, of course, mulch is going to help too, right?
It will. Mulch will help, you know, the soil retain some moisture. It'll help break up, you know, obviously some of the weeds issues with that. And it acts as a little bit of a buffer and like a little insulation there, if you would.
We know that volcano mulching is wrong. About how thick should that mulch be and how far out should we have it on there? And a third question, should we update that mulch a little bit during the season?
Yeah, depending on, so there is a thing called too much mulch, especially here with the clay soils that we have. Mulch is going to add that buffer zone, so it's going to help the soil retain that moisture. So if you have too much mulch, that can cause issues like root rot, things like that, not enough, you know, I guess moisture evaporating or anything through there. So ideally, I'd like to use around, you know, 2 to 2.5 inches of mulch in this area. No more than 3, I would say, is the absolute most that I would go, and nothing less than 1 inch.
And when we're watering, we're just kind of putting the hose down at the bottom and letting it run for a certain amount of time, depending on how big the tree is, right?
Correct, yeah. I mean, the rule of thumb is kind of, you know, do not stand there with a full volume of water and, you know, just kind of soak the area. You want to do more of like a light trickle, put the hose around the base of the tree, maybe a foot or two away, leave it on. I mean, if you can for, you know, 5-6 hours, a light little tiny trickle, do that once a week. That would be the watering. Or a lot of people have now invested in the gator bags that go around smaller trees. You can zip that up. I think it holds about 25 gallons of water. That'll basically act as watering for the tree.
When you're looking at the weather as a tree professional, is it a relief for you like it is for us when we get a little bit of rain like this? Actually, a friend from Ohio sent me a video yesterday. They got poured on. I didn't get that much, but any amount of rain makes me feel better because I don't have to water. How do you feel about it as a professional?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not it's not fun. I know the, you know, my guys would be a little frustrated if I was doing the rain dance and they were the ones having to go out and work in it all day, every day. So I got to kind of choose my words a little carefully. But yeah, I mean, I'm sitting on the front porch, you know, having a coffee, telling my plants to drink up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's rewarding to see that. And, you know, I think you're starting to see, you know, things kind of bounce back here with, you know, a little bit of more moisture, some cooler temperatures setting in. And yeah, this has been a year where I think a lot of people have learned just, you know, what kind of drought damage can do and seeing it. I think some people have never really truly seen trees with drought stress.
Well, my experience goes way back, and I've talked to many people from Davie about this, the old timers. In 1988, we had a really bad drought in the summer. And that opened up all sorts of borer issues for trees. It was awful. That goes that far back. But let's flip the coin now. What happens if we get all of a sudden wet and cool weather for the entire end of the season? Are we looking at possible fungal issues?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's when it rains, it pours type of thing. No pun intended there. But, yeah, I mean, when you go from these extremes, kind of, you know, drought, heat, to all of a sudden cool, wet, you know, soil saturations, I mean, that's going to present its own issues too. Typically with some sort of, you know, fungal pathogen setting in with a tree that's already stressed due to the heat and the drought from early on. So it throws a big curveball into the whole system. So it's a grave concern. You know, you try to jump out in front of it when you can, or you can have certain plant varieties that you know are more susceptible to some of those things. You can kind of let the, you know, homeowner know that this could be a possibility. Here's what we could do in that event. Or if you want to jump out ahead of it, you can do proactive, you know, applications, fertilizations, you know, biostimulants, humates, things like that.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about that fertilizer and humates and what we're doing. So you hang on there, Craig. We'll get right back to you after the break. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDK. And remember, you can always call the experts like Craig from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
All right, coming back with more in just a moment on The Organic Gardener, talking tree with Davey Trees on KDK. Couple of more minutes with Doug and Davey Tree talking trees.
That's right. Back with Craig Stone from the Davey Tree Expert Company. We've talked a little bit about drought and watering. And Craig, I wanted to cover first fertilization. Are we still doing that this time of the year?
Yes, we are.
And how long does this continue? How long could we fertilize?
Well, depending on, you know, that's where we kind of get into the education of fertilizers. Not all fertilizers are the same or equal. So fertilizing in the summer, you really kind of want to watch to make sure the product you're using is definitely a slow release. We use more of an organic kind of summer fertilizer, more humates, biostimulants, just mainly to kind of help alter kind of some of the conditions that Mother Nature has not provided us with, you know, so much this summer. So the humates are going to help soil moisture retention. It'll kind of help lessen the impact of that heat and the drought that we're seeing this year. And then the biostimulants will help the plant kind of uptake some of the nutrients and thicken the cell walls to make it a little more disease resistant, things like that for this this stressful time of the year.
And I think a lot of homeowners don't even consider fertilizing their trees, but it's an important thing to do, right?
For sure. There's always that common conception, like, you know, well, trees don't get fertilized in you know, its natural environment in the woods or so. And you kind of have to have that course of, you know, well, that environment's much different than your urban landscape, you know, all of the, you know, traffic that you have around the tree, the lack of organic matter maybe in the soil. We're removing all of our leaves, things like that, that provide, you know, that natural fertilizer that happens in the woods that we basically eliminate in, you know, our landscapes. So, and then people are always kind of like, well, my tree's too big as it is. Fertilizers for a mature tree is going to act a little bit differently than it would for a you know, a newly planted seedling or something like that. So fertilizer is always a good thing. But it, depending on what fertilizer you're using and when it's done, it could be a different topic too.
The thing I've seen the guys from Davey doing this, and that, you know, there's putting that probe in the ground and getting that stuff down into the root zone, that's a good way to fertilize.
It is. It is. It's made things a little more challenging this year with the heat and the drought a little bit. Sometimes, you know, probing the soil when it's so hard and dry like it's been has been quite the task. I know some of our technicians have come back and, you know, had to call homeowners and say, I need you to water. It's just too hard, or I got to wait and come back after a rain or so. But yeah, getting the fertilizer directly to the root system, 6 to 8 inches or so below the surface, puts it right there. Anything you kind of sprinkle on top, it's still great. But by the time the roots actually go up to get that, then that's causing some issues. Or by the time that product has broken down and gotten to 6 to 8 inches below the surface, how effective is it? So you kind of make it readily available right then, right there, as soon as we applicate.
So when you say humates, what does that mean? Is that just a type of fertilizer?
Humates is more of the organic. It's the organic product that's kind of mixed with our fertilizer. So it's going to basically help directly affect the soil moisture retention. It's going to help kind of enrich the nutrients in that soil condition in that area that we're applying those humates for that tree or shrub.
And then how about biostimulator? Tell me about that.
So the biostimulator is something that's going to it's going to kind of thicken the cell walls to make it a little more disease resistant. So it's going to help the natural kind of compartmentalization. So in this aspect, if you have a tree that is somewhat stressed or is fighting something, we're going to help speed up that recovery process. So you had mentioned borers earlier. You would obviously want to treat for borers, but in the event you were treating for borers, you would want to do the biostimulant to kind of help thicken up and compartmentalize the damage done from that adult boring insect that happened. So that would be a benefit that you would follow up after treating for borers.
Before I let you go, have you seen much spotted lanternfly?
Oh, yeah. It's moving south. You know, you kind of had the calls over the last couple of years kind of closer to the city, and mm-hmm. then we're getting, you know, more calls and more activity the further south. So all the way through Washington County, and we're seeing that kind of trickle down further south from the city. So yes, we're definitely seeing it.
Yeah, I had a question actually via email yesterday about a maple tree. They like maple trees, and the question was, will my maple tree survive? And I've got all sorts of black stuff at the bottom of the tree that's sooty mold. And so talk a little bit about what you're doing for a spotted lanternfly infestation.
So initially, you know, we want to assess to see, you know, like how much activity are we seeing? What's the size of the tree, the species of the tree? There are a preferred, you know, species that these things will go to, but I've also seen them on anything and everything. You see them on your houses. They're not obviously feeding on your houses, but they're using that as maybe a nesting or mating spot. So what we would normally do is we'd probably do, a couple of different things. We can use a systemic insecticide that's injected either into the plant or sprayed on the trunk of the tree, absorbed through the trunk, and then translocated out through the tree. So basically when the spotted lanternfly land on the tree and begin to pierce or suck any of that glucose from the tree, they will ingest some of that insecticide and be killed off. That's probably the most effective way. It's also a little more expensive, and it's not going to readily be uptake into the tree right away because it does have to break down, get absorbed, and translocated out. So there's a few days, possibly a week of, you know, that lag. You could also do foliar insecticide sprays. So—
All right, Craig, good stuff. Ran out of time there. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDK. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. Now, I've got a few seats left for my upcoming November trip to Iceland and just announced my trip to the Chelsea Flower Show in May. We're going to see all these cool gardens in London. It's going to be a lot of fun, as we just had a lot of fun in the West. Rob's just shaking his head like, you're going to Iceland. You're going to England.
Come on.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, good stuff. Stay with us. News at 8, and then it's my favorite cheese recipes on the Coons Cooking Hour.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.